strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raider. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. End zone for Fitz goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
A not-so-friendly reminder, Ron Wolfley, that this past season in the NFL, 2020, you do realize, you do remember that there was a game every single day of the week, as in the actual day of the week on the calendar, not just Sunday game day or Monday night football or Thursday night football or Saturday games in December, but there were also games played on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of last season, the first time that had happened in NFL history in a quarter century. So with that in mind, welcome in Ron Wolfley to a Wednesday edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You know what, Paulie, you got to be flexible, do you not? You have to be flexible at all times. Position flexibility, of course, is taking over the National Football League. You got to be flexible on a Big Red Rage as well, Paul.
Yeah, and just so you know, this is not voluntary for you, okay? It is in your contract. I know for players in the NFL right now, it's that mandatory mini camp. Everything else is considered voluntary. At least that's the way it stands right now, based on the memo from Raj. But right here, right now, boom, we're ready to go because you're right. 2 weeks from tomorrow, the NFL draft. Let it wash over you. And since Ron Wolfley, they've yet to authorize our key cards for entry into the war room.
Yes.
Which is never going to happen, just FYI. We get the next best thing and a key figure in that war room on this edition. How about Director of Player Personnel, Drew Grigson, going to be our special guest coming up a little bit
later. Boy, I love that, Paulie. First of all, Director of Player Personnel, Paulie. I know on the sideline as you're walking around there as the sideline reporter, of course, for the Cardinals, you maybe not, I don't know, run into contact with Drew Grigson from time to time, Paul, but this is
that
a guy
that would not be
that
good for me.
This
no.
is
I'd
physically
lose that.
Run into him, exactly. D-ball
is what
I like to call
like
him.
Three of me, Wolf. He can bench press at least three of me.
Yes, of course, here's a guy that has influence in personnel, not only at the college level, but also at the pro level, thus the Director of Player Personnel.
Are you going to ask him or am I going to ask him for an update on Larry Fitzgerald? Let's just hash that out right here,
yeah,
right now.
I honestly don't think we should, Paul. I mean, honestly, put him under the gun like that. I mean, this guy, he's not the general manager, not yet, but oh my goodness, the Director of Player Personnel, that is a stepping stone title to a general manager position, is it not?
You want to hear my latest theory on Larry, by
not
the way?
Really, Paul.
Thanks for asking. I think that this is a big ploy so he can miss the entire offseason. So he can miss the OTAs, so he doesn't have to participate in the virtual Zoom sessions. Maybe he shows up for the mandatory minicamp in June. But you know what? Year three in this offense of Cliff Kingsbury, he knows the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's going into his 18th season. Heck, hey, just go play some more golf.
You know what, Paulie? That's not a bad suggestion by you. That's not a bad proposition right there. The fact that, because we know he's got to be waiting for something, right? At least that's my feeling on this. I think he's waiting for something, and what that something is, I do not know. Now, maybe he's waiting for a team to be able to scrape together the requisite amount of money that he would be willing to play for, and maybe that conveniently also means he's
sure
going to miss a lot of the offseason as he's waiting for them to scrape it together, Paul.
I mean, maybe it's a faux contract holdout. Maybe he's just staging this, you know, this holdout for more cash, perhaps, or is stalling the negotiations just so he conveniently misses all of April and May and most of June.
So as Fitzy's listening to you talk right now, how badly do you think he's just shaking his head and smirking, Paul? How badly do you think he's doing
well,
that?
Hey, I'm not the guy who used the two words thus far on a podcast this week. Wolf, I'm just going to leave you with this on the Larry subject, and it won't come up again. But he was on a golf subpar podcast out of Whisper Rock, okay, Wolf? Another area, just like the War Room, where you're never going to gain entry to Whisper Rock Country Club, okay?
I once got in a fight outside of Whisper Rock, Paul.
I see. No, we don't have time for the dark days right now to talk about that. And so on this podcast, he was asked very little football, 98% golf, but he was asked about his longevity and how he's only missed a handful of games in his NFL career. And he said, yeah, I've been fortunate thus far. What is that? He didn't talk about his career in the past tense, Ron Wolfley.
I know, Paulie. I know exactly the cut you're talking about, the sound you're okay. talking about, Paul. Okay. Don't go deep on that. Just let the man speak. Okay. And not, don't read into it that deep, Paul. Okay. You're on the grassy knoll.
Guess what? The Cardinals depth chart just got deeper at running back. That's next on the Big Red Rage.
Hodges gets the shotgun snap, gives it to Connor, sweeps the left side, got a block at the 10, Connor to the 5, Connor to the goal line, and in for the touchdown. James Connor sweeping the left side, takes it in from 12 yards out. Hodges will throw to Connor out of the backfield, makes a man miss, and it's at the 20. Connor down the sideline to the 10, and he's going to walk it in for the touchdown.
Now former Steelers running back, James Earl Connor. That's his middle name, by the way, Ron Wolfley. I wonder if his parents are big fans of Darth Vader and James Earl Jones. James Earl Connor, a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals, as all of a sudden, you know what the O-line likes to call the straight-ahead run game? The pound game. They now have the running back to go with that pound game. And it's curious now what exactly that means for the Arizona Cardinals and the style of run game perhaps this year. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, soon to be joined by Director of Player Personnel Drew Grigson. We'll get his thoughts on James Conner. But, Wolf, you're batting leadoff. Give us your thoughts.
You know, Paulie, I love this. I really do. 6'1", 233 pounds. He's not the fastest guy in the world. He's not going to take the ball and rip off a 40-yard run. He's not going to rip off a 60, 80-yard take-it-to-the-house run unless he's breaking tackles the whole way. Not going to do that, but he's a first-down maker is what he is, Paul. This is a guy that's going to line up and get you four. He's going to rip it in there. I call him a ground pounder. That's what he is. You might say the offensive line likes to pound it. This is a ground pounder running back, and this is exactly what I was hoping the Cardinals were going to bring in. James Conner, I thought, was the best option that was still out there. And I also, Paulie, I like what it implies, what it might mean for this offense and the mindset of this team going forward.
You know, in that montage coming back on Westwood One, he had the rushing touchdown and the receiving touchdown. Did I not hear your brother say something along the lines of longtime Steelers analyst and Steelers legend from that offensive line that might be an underutilized part of his skill set, the receiving game?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He texted me and told me about this kid a little bit. He said he's a three-down back, Paulie. That's what he said. He said he will stone blitzers, which is great. Mm. When you have a run-down back, a back that is first and 10, second and 1 to 6. If, in fact, you are going to put Kyler Murray a little bit more under center, if you're going to do that, you better have a running back that can actually hold up and blitz pickup. The reason being, Paulie, is because here comes the play action, right? Here comes the play action, and that running back's going to fake like he's getting the ball, and it's going to freeze everybody for the most part. But then you might blitz in a rundown situation if you're a defensive coordinator. Man, that running back better be ready to pick up that blitzer, right? He better have his eyes open and be capable of doing it, and this dude is capable of doing it. He's 6'1", 233 pounds.
You know what? Two thoughts here. What Kyler Murray does for James Conner, and then what Conner does for the direction of this run game, which you hinted at. Let me get to the first one. You know, it was that very first training camp. We hadn't even gotten out of August, and Chase Edmonds was talking about what Kyler Murray does for the run game. He's like, quote, an extra blocker.
Yes.
Well, James Conner obviously did not have that dynamic in Pittsburgh with Big Ben, who's a big statue back
yes.
there. So think about that and how, because it's not like if he gets a little more room and the defenses are respecting Kyler's legs a little bit more, that benefits Connor, doesn't it?
I love that you brought that up, Paulie, because once again, I do believe the Arizona Cardinals offense is going to be tweaked a little bit this year going forward. I think we're going to see Kyler Murray a little bit more under center. I think we're going to see more traditional running plays at the point of attack. I think we're going to see that, Paulie, but it doesn't mean it's going to be exclusive. There's going to be a blending, right? A blending of the old and the new. That's what I expect to see. I expect to see James Conner lined up in the gun next to Kyler Murray, and here comes an inside zone play. A play where you're going to hand that ball off. Maybe it's going to be a zone read as well from time to time, but I see a blending of the old and the new, and Craig also was talking about the fact that James Conner has a good feel for hitting angles. Good angles in a power scheme. He has a really good feel for doing that. Not a great cutback runner, Craig said, and that to me tells me he's not a great runner in zone schemes. He might be a much better punch the hole into the defense type runner, a guy that uses great angles on power scheme plays, and that could signal a little foreshadowing here as to how this run game offense might be tweaked a little.
I agree. We talked about it with Rob Fredrickson last month. Kyler under center.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right? And then all of a sudden, guess what? You have a bit more of a downhill running game. And the way you describe James Conner, he seems to be the perfect fit in that sort of scheme. We saw a little different approach in December. We saw more bootlegs for Kyler. We did see him under center a little bit more. I agree with you. I think we're more apt to see a little bit of everything. And for James Conner, guess what? He's reunited with a running back coach he had in 2018 in Pittsburgh during his Pro Bowl season. In fact, here's James Conner talking to the media about the opportunity in Arizona.
I feel brand new. You know, I'm excited for this opportunity. It's definitely a change of scenery for me. You know, been in Pittsburgh 8 years, and this was all that time in Pittsburgh was just prepping me for where I'm at right now in my life and this journey that brought me out here to AZ. And I feel like I was well equipped. You know, just everything I've been through and continue to go through on this journey and leads me to here. So, man, I'm excited to be in this red. I'm excited. It's a blessing.
He sounds like a local already, you know, calling it AZ. You know,
yes.
It's well done by him. But 2018, Wolf, we're talking about a guy who had nearly 1,500 yards from scrimmage, over 5 yards per touch, 13 touchdowns, all with James Saxon.
Yes.
And I would dismiss that if he was 30 or 31, but he's going to be 26 next month. That
ding.
Wasn't a long time ago.
Ding, ding. That's exactly right, Paulie. Once again, I don't want to make it sound like suddenly Kyler Murray is going to be under center for 40% of the snaps. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying 25%? Maybe. We'll see how this offense evolves, but I can tell you right now, you got a guy that's going to stoke it in between those tackles, and you know that gets me jacked up.
And by the way, it's a one-year deal. He'll be motivated. It's cap-friendly,
yep.
Less than $2 million total. He's also competing with another guy who's in a contract year, Chase Edmonds. So these are going to be two guys pushing each other, you figure. Drew Grigson next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Snap to Wilson. Cardinals bringing some pressure. It's picked up. Wilson with time in the pocket. Now in trouble and sacked. About four Cardinals in the backfield. But it's Isaiah Simmons, the rookie, that gets the Russell Wilson first to force a punt. Shotgun snap to Wilson. Straight drop back. Steps up in the pocket. Takes off. Running far side at the 40. And drilled by Simmons at the 41. Isaiah Simmons is balling. Shotgun snap, Wilson. Quick throw to the left flat. Metcalf caught it at the 38. Dropped by Isaiah Simmons for a loss at the 37-yard line. Simmons has played terrific football tonight. The rookie really starting to get comfortable out there.
Two of his best games against the Seahawks. You heard the montage there, Dave Pasch, Cardinals Radio Network. Yeah, the overtime win at home against the Seahawks on Sunday night, where, remember, Wolf, Russell Wilson had been 30-0 in the regular season when leading by 10 at the half. And the Cardinals came back for the win there. Then at Seattle, Isaiah Simmons had that game with a team-high 10 tackles and a sack. He was the first-round pick a year ago on that big board of the Cardinals, the top 120 in the war room, where Once again, we are not allowed, so we do the next best thing here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, and we say good evening and welcome to the Director of Player Personnel, Drew Grigson, who joins us, fresh off being promoted a couple of months ago. Drew, how are we doing? Is the adrenaline flowing yet with the draft and 2 weeks away?
Oh, you can't get burned out this quick. It's a marathon. You got to pace yourself right now.
Yeah.
Drew, you know, I'm going to start off with a big fat softball right here, but talk about how roster building has changed in the year 2021 of our Lord. How has it changed? The emphasis on the draft, free agency, roster building, trades. How much has it changed from 10 years ago?
It's different every year now. I mean, obviously, COVID throwing us the curveball that it did, and salary cap changing, and with the inability to make visits this year, everything changed on our side, and building a roster has become more difficult. But there's nothing you could do but adapt, and any curveball that gets thrown to you, you have to take it. Across the league, everyone has the same rules, which helps. And we're all playing with the same hand here, so there's no excuses. We just got to find a way to work around all these issues and make the best of it.
With no combine this year, how has it been? How has it been? I know teams have really gone and had to attend these pro days, so how would you say, is your access to information enough that you're going to feel confident about making draft picks?
We will, because I feel good about the information, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks to the guys, the amount of information that we did gather this year, not making visits, it's astounding. I credit our scouting staff for doing that, because I mean they were scouting from their offices at home, from their kitchens, from the basements, and we pulled in quite a bit of information. The unfortunate thing is that you don't have those experiences that you do when you go to the school, when you get a feel for the kid and you go room to room and you talk to everyone, and you get a real strong conviction one way or another. But we've done a great job figuring out who our targets would be. Not having the combine, we didn't have a chance to interview the guys in person. So what Quentin Harris and I did is we put together basically a combine style interview process that we did from the draft room. So instead of having players brought in in front of us one by one, we did it over Zoom, and it's the only way we could do it. And we did it, like I said, combine style. 20 minutes on with one kid, next kid comes in, he's ready. Zoom, next guy comes in, and we just did it down the line, just like we would in Indy. So we weren't there in person, but we still got the information, still got to talk to the kids, still got to feel comfortable about him, talk to him about X's and O's and be comfortable with his mental capacity, all that stuff. So
Drew, where are you guys right now in the draft process? Have you already stood on the table, Drew? Have you stood on the table and had it out as to what kid is better than what kid? This kid is better than that kid? What are you doing? You're out of your mind. Have you had those meetings yet?
The shoe prints are on the table, Wolf. They're there. the board is up, and we feel good right now. There'll be some minor massaging, and we're still going to do a few more interviews over the next couple days, and we still have to do a medical meeting. Obviously, that's going to be a big piece to it, in terms of who we feel good about long term medically and short term, and that affects your board greatly. But in terms of ability, it's up, and we feel good about it, and we feel confident about it. And like I said, right now there's going to be little moves from here on out, and that's it, and we're ready to draft.
Hey, Director of Player Personnel Drew Grigson joining us on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. How true is that? As you're formulating the big board and everyone's around the big table in the war room, are you guys all truly in the trust tree? Does it get pretty spirited? You all know each other pretty well, so I presume you're not taking it personal, but does it get pretty animated in there?
It does. I mean, when a guy does sometimes, two, 3 years of work on a guy, and he feels strong and convicted about a guy, and he feels that this guy could help our team, and someone doesn't agree with him, yeah, it can get a little spirited, but I think we do a great job of keeping it professional, and you could still be convicted and strong with your opinion and still be professional in doing it.
Right.
And if I feel that it's going the wrong way, I'd say, gentlemen, let's let's calm down a little bit and yes, and you want that. You want the conversation to, you want your scouts to be excited about a guy, and you want them to have conviction about him one way or another, because that's how you hit on a player and that's how you miss on a player if you're not listening to those guys. Because like I said, sometimes those guys are doing 3 years of work on those guys. So, it could get spirited in a good way.
Drew, Bill Belichick is famous for actually interviewing a coach, and even though he may secretly agree with what the coach is saying, he'll actually take the opposite side of the argument just to see how he responds. Okay, now that's diabolical to me as far as I'm concerned, but do you ever do that with some of your guys? Do you take the opposite side? Do you be a contrarian that somebody gets up and says, I love this guy, and do you just say, I want to hear how convicted you love this guy?
Sure, a little bit, yeah. You know, you not necessarily want to be a contrarian, but I'll question them, and we just because you want to get them in the right place on the board. And, you know, if I want to make sure that the information they got, maybe it's, is it any different than what I got? And you said this, but that you got this from this guy, but I got this from this guy. You sure you feel good about that? And you know, just checks and balances and making sure that the information that they're presenting is again, they feel strong about it. And we feel good about where that guy's going on the board.
Director of Player Personnel, Drew Grigson, joining us. All right, how about a quick scouting report on your most recent signee, James Conner, who joins the backfield?
Yeah, I was a big fan of James coming out, and you know his, obviously what he went through medically, his story starts there, and what he came back from, that tells you about who he is as a person, and how he's able to bounce back. I mean, I can't even get out of my car day to day. You know, my back hurts so bad, and this guy's beating cancer, going to Pro Bowl. So that's where it starts. And again, we've added a lot of pieces in free agency of men, of leaders, of alphas. And that's what we want to keep doing, and that's what he is. And then you look at the ability, and you look at a big back with outstanding feet that could catch the ball, that's going to be great on third down, that can block, and he's going to be good in short yardage and goal line situations. He's tough, and I just think he adds a great 1-2 punch with Chase Edmonds, with his skill set. So, a little thunder and lightning, I think. I think it's going to be a good mix.
You know what's amazing about it too, Drew, is I had a coach, an old coach, who was really fond of saying, if you pack a locker room with enough dogs, even the cats start barking. Okay?
So, it's good.
You guys have done an unbelievable job. I mean, from the very beginning of this offseason and roster building, of bringing in guys that have a reputation for being physical, and guys also that are leaders. That's no accident, is it?
Not at all. I mean, you know, that's the philosophy that Steve Keim set forth, and it's our job between Quentin and I to kind of stress that to the staff, and that's those guys are going to take priority. And I know Steve has talked to you guys about it on the radio before, but, if we're setting the board and the guys are – we're looking at two players and they're close in ability grade – those guys that are the alphas, that are the guys that are tough, that we feel are A football character guys, they're gonna go above the other guy, and that's how we break the tie on a lot of guys. And like, we're gonna keep filling our locker room with those guys. And Wolf, you know about playing a long season. And
yes,
in week 13, 14, 15, when things start to fall apart, those are the guys that hold it together.
Amen.
And those are and we need those guys in our locker room. And that has been a major factor for us in the last couple of years, in terms of what we're addressing and what we're targeting in the draft and in free agency.
So you sign J.J. Watt. There's a pass rusher, right? You get the corner and Malcolm Butler. You just got the running back. You've obtained offensive linemen. So there doesn't seem to be that glaring need in the draft. If you look at the mock drafts, Drew, and I know you guys at times will laugh and mock the mock drafts, but Cardinals have been, look, anywhere from corner to receiver to O-line to running back to tight end, everything all over the board. I take it that's a good thing right now, where the outsiders are really wondering what direction you might go in round one.
That's a good point, that there's no glaring, hole. And that just gives us a chance to take the best player. And that's just, I know it's very cliche to say, but it is so true that you just can't pass on good players, no matter what position. And even if you feel full at that spot, like if we have a guy up with a high grade and we need a linebacker and it's that high player's at a position that's not, you still got to take him, because like you've heard Steve say a thousand times, you're needs in April aren't going to be the same in October. So you just need as many good players on your roster as possible.
Have you guys actually run mock drafts yet? Have you done that yet?
I personally try to stay away from them. I think it can mess you a little bit. I think you just have to stick to what you and your staff believe. Because I've looked at mock drafts. When I have looked at mock drafts, I think they're so off sometimes that I just
I just can't do it.
So I typically do not mess with them or pay much attention to them.
But what about you guys, Drew? I mean, I know. Do you guys ever go through the process of running a mock draft as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So have you guys done that yet?
We have not yet. We do that towards the end, right before the draft, and what we try to do is just try to create as many scenarios as possible before we get to our pick, whether it's trades or whether it's a guy that no one in the room thinks would go before. Just so when we get to our pick, okay, and here's the guys left. Now what are we going to do?
Right.
Should we trade back here? So we have two guys. We take this guy. So. We do that every year. We go around the room, basically look at basically the team's needs of everyone in front of us, and then each scout picks. Okay, who are the Jags taking? Who are the Jets taking? And we get to our pick, and that's how we do it.
Do you care to divulge who you guys like?
Wolf.
I know you're not going to answer that, of course.
Where is the draft the deepest? You were longtime director of college scouting. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the most depth and which positions in this draft?
Something I never say, pass rusher. It's a very interesting draft for pass rusher, for inside linebacker. You know, usually it's receiver, just because there's so many bodies, and it's never pass rusher. Now, it's not as – I don't think it's as deep up top, but it's like the second, third round, it's going to get real interesting. There's a lot of talented guys in the second, third, fourth round that are – they're going to fly off the board. There's going to be a run from them at some point because it's a very, very good group.
Drew, how's the arm wrestling coming? I mean, is that coming along well?
Okay? I'm retired. I no longer participate in arm wrestling. But
now, wait a minute. Are they still 20? Are the guns still 20?
They're hanging in there. haven't measured in a while, but the wife still approved, so I must be doing something right.
He's one of the few executives in the NFL. He has a workout bonus in his contract.
Oh, yeah. So there's no doubt about it, man.
That's the good thing about Drew.
Love you, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us.
I got to get it in the morning, guys.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Drew, thank you. Appreciate the info.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, man. Thank you, Drew.
Director of Player Personnel. And, Wolf, it was by design, adding the leaders and the alphas.
Yes.
And we'll go through some more of what Drew had to say about the 2021 draft next on the Big Red Rage.
Breaking news, J.J. Watt is going to the desert.
Whoa!
Hey, Birdgang!
Yeah. That is not Photoshop.
No, he said Adam Schefter just reported it.
Wow!
The first thing I did was take a look at the tape and quickly realized that J.J. Watt still looked like J.J. Watt, in my opinion.
Come on! Let's go!
JJ, nice to see you, man.
When he walks on the field, he don't think there's anybody in the arena better than him.
Feels like the Arizona Cardinals are going all in.
We had the opportunity to make some moves and to be aggressive.
You know, it's business at the end of the day, and, you know, things going to change.
To get traded to Arizona, it's a blessing, man. One of the best days of my life.
A little different senior out there.
Much different.
There isn't enough energy in the Valley already. We're going to try and turn it up even a few more notches.
The unmistakable theme of Flight Plan, Season 4 of the Emmy Award-winning series Cardinals Flight Plan. It premieres next Thursday, April 22nd at 7 o'clock on the Cardinals YouTube channel. And a lot of great inside stuff. You heard from a lot of the newcomers in there, starting with J.J. Watt and all the way down to retaining Marcus Golden. And Wolf, we just heard the director of player personnel, Drew Grigson, here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert, saying that, quote, adding men, adding leaders, adding alphas in response to your question whether it was by design. So, yes, it was a definitive yes, that was the plan.
You know what, Paulie, it really is, and it's a plan. No doubt Steve Keim has already talked about that. He needed to get more physical, he said, and he needed better leadership, he thought, in the locker room. And those two things, they have gone out, and my goodness, Paul, honestly, every signing, every acquisition, every trade, every roster spot that they actually brought in, it really checks those two boxes right there. Even right down to an AJ Green, who is a big, get off the press, physical type wide receiver. If you ask him to block, he's going to block.
I mean, we talked about it after the signing of AJ Green. For example, if you were to name the top three receivers at making contested catches over the last decade, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and
AJ Green.
Honestly, so you're right. A guy who'll fight for the football, whether it's Rodney Hudson and Brian Winters. Would you call those two guys maulers, right? Malcolm Butler, who had over 100 tackles as a cornerback. So,
Paul, I'll tell you right now, Matt Prater will walk bow-legged and okay. thrash you on a Saturday night.
Okay. Yeah, maybe me, but not an NFL player.
This guy is full-on kicker, yeah. right, and a grizzled veteran at that. So I love it, man. I just love the moves that they've made right now. This was not an accident, and James Conner is the cherry on top of this offseason as far as I'm concerned.
And look, it gets back for everything that everyone says about Cliff Kingsbury and they mistakenly called the air raid offense yeah. and so forth. Okay. It still gets back to running the ball
yes.
and stopping the run to such a large degree.
Paul, isn't that crazy, Paul? I mean, think about it right now. The football universe, Paulie, what you just said, it's still, even though the way you do it might be changing, the way you do it, the how is different, but it's still football, isn't it? Ultimately, and because of what you just said right there, man, I think this is exactly the direction the Arizona Cardinals are headed in. Now, will it result in more wins? I don't know. But I guarantee you this much, it's going to result a lot more in a lot more bloody noses from opposing players.
And look, I know the analytics guys right now are saying, Calvisi, where are you? It's a passing league. You know, Kyle Odegaard is somewhere right now taking my name in vain. But here's my response to that, is that when the Cardinals offense was truly rolling the second half of 2019 and the first half of 2020, what was the common denominator? An effective running game.
You got that right.
And where did the Cardinals fail on defense in the most critical moments? And Vance Joseph was pretty darn honest about it with us a couple of months ago here on the Big Red Rage. They finished in the bottom third in run defense. So when I look at J.J. Watt, for everything that he brings, and there's a lot, we could fill a whole show talking about his resume, the fact that he led the NFL in tackles for loss against the run last year,
yes,
that's huge. And that's my intro here to Jim Trotter on the NFL Network, just talking about J.J. Watt here recently and that interior presence that he provides.
Talking to Vance Joseph, one of the things that J.J. Watt brings besides leadership is an interior presence in the nickel package. They haven't got much pressure up the middle when it comes to the pass rush, you know, when they go to that package. And they believe that with J.J. Watt there complimenting Chandler Jones, they should be able to generate that pressure.
And Wolf, VJ talked about it with us, especially when you're thinking about putting J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones on the same side of the line.
Yeah, you're right, Paulie, but you've got to get to those third and obvious pass situations, right? You got to get to those situations yep. where you can use all that talent. And that means you got to stop the run first. It still is. It is an amazing thing. Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the offense that they actually run, right? That is, Paul, there's a lot of elements that are right out of 1995, okay, Paul? I'm just going to tell you that right now. They're even further back than that, like a seven-man slide protection, okay? I mean, this is still a league where you've got to be physical on the line of scrimmage, and J.J. Watt is going to go a long, long way in helping the Arizona Cardinals be more physical in terms of stopping the run. You've got to keep a three-dimensional approach to the game of football. You've got, if you're an offense, you've got to make the defense wonder what it is you're going to do. Are you going to run it? Are you going to throw it? Or are you going to act like you're going to run it and then throw it? You got to keep them guessing, Paul.
And you know what? Speaking of J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, how about Drew Grigson moments ago telling us that the most depth in this draft is at pass rusher? And you never say that. So it makes me wonder, as wrong as the mock drafts are typically and annually, everyone who thinks the Cardinals are going corner or maybe receiver at 16, if that edge guy is there, don't forget Chandler Jones in the final year of his contract. J.J. Watt is above the age of 30. Marcus Golden on a two-year deal. I would not be surprised if they go edge rusher at number 16.
That's a good point, Paulie. It's going to be very interesting to see who's there at 16. I'll tell you this much. They can get a great football player at 16.
Then again, if it's that deep, maybe that edge guy, maybe that pass rusher comes in round two. We'll see. We're 2 weeks away tomorrow night from the NFL draft. We continue with a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Garoppolo back to pass, throws over the middle behind the intended receiver, and a diving interception at the 5-yard line. It's Jalen Thompson with a pick.
I think Jalen Thompson is just scratching the surface of what he could possibly become.
Quick throw over the middle. It's broken up at the 40-yard line, incomplete by Jalen Thompson. Made a good play, breaking on the receiver.
You watch Jalen Thompson right there lined up in the slot. That was just what a corner would typically do, the way he broke on that slam.
So Ron Wolfley, who was joined by Dave Pasch there, the collective voice of the Arizona Cardinals and the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network here on the Big Red Rage, you might be asking yourself, well, why was there a montage of Jalen Thompson there from our fine producer Jim Almahundro? And the answer is that, you know what, it's an astute observation that Jalen Thompson has yet to have a traditional offseason. He's actually yet to have an offseason of any sort in the NFL, and he's entering his third season in the NFL, because if you recall, as a rookie, he was taken in the supplemental draft in July and then just showed up for training camp. And then, of course, last year, the entire offseason was wiped out, except being held virtually because of the pandemic. So here we go again, as the NFL released a memo to teams today. It's going to be a 9-week offseason schedule. Everything will be voluntary, Wolf, except for one mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, Polly, one mandatory minicamp, and everything being voluntary in the offseason, it's really, really important, I think, that you get your work out there, especially for the young guys, Paul. It's so difficult to make a roster coming in as a rookie unless you're a high-round pick, a guy that's taken in the first, second, third round, even the fourth round, I would say. Anything after that, it's kind of a toss it up in the air proposition right now. It's difficult to make a team, and you got to know what you're doing before you can actually make a roster. And OTAs, they go a long, long way for a young guy to actually get the offense down, get the defense down, and then maybe go out and try to execute and play.
And I should say the NFL has allowed for rookie mini camps in the weeks following this year's draft. So that has been provided for, but starting Monday, they're going to start having virtual Zoom meetings 2 hours per day, and that's going to be the beginning of the NFL offseason work. And look, this has been a process, obviously, between the league and the NFLPA. In fact, the president, Brown Center J.C. Treader, he was on the Rich Eisen show, was asked if he thinks there's going to be a boycott of these voluntary workouts.
I don't think boycott's the word. I think to start, the offseason is voluntary. And I think guys right now are making an informed decision about what's in their best interest when it comes to their health and safety. And that's what being a professional is all about, is making informed decisions for what's best for your health, your career. And guys are doing that. And we're seeing those people come out and come forward and say what they want to do moving forward.
That's well said right there, Paul. It really is, because everyone's situation is different, Paul. Everyone's situation, not only when it comes to making a football team and making a roster, everyone's situation is different, but everyone's personal health situation, even at home, is different as well.
And every situation, state by state, is different.
Right. Good point.
Where Michigan is right now, you can understand the reason the Lions players may have voted the way they did, which is very different than a lot of other states. So yes.
Boy, that ruined your summer plans, didn't it, Paulie? Going back to the Motor City. Weren't you going back there, Paul?
Wolf, I'm going to take the fifth on not being able to see the in-laws this summer.
Okay.
So,
all right. I'm sorry, Paul. That was callous of
that.
Me.
Probably shouldn't answer on whether that's a plus or a minus. Anyway, what I was going to bring up was the fact that look at last year in the offseason. And I wonder, you tell me, you spent 10 years in the league. Do you think the veterans are saying, hey, maybe everyone overestimated the importance of these offseason programs.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And the preseason games, of which there were none, right? I mean, they just went into the season last year and dropped the plow and went straight forward. And now I wonder what some of these players are thinking.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Paulie. And if you're an established player too, maybe you're just thinking to yourself, man, I don't need to be out on that field. I don't need to be. I do know this right now. The union is going to use OTAs. It's going to use this offseason and the experience of COVID and this pandemic and the way that it's impacted the offseason, I think they're going to use that as a bargaining chip going forward, because that's what any good union would do, is use it as a bargaining chip going forward to get something they may want down the line.
And guess what? The owners just got 17 games. And
yes.
So, you know, this
and,
is a
and Paulie too. A lot of people say, "Well, that CBA now—that's a decade away." And listen, they can always put an addendum to it. And they talk throughout the length of any CBA to begin with.
No doubt. There's no doubt. I also wonder if it contributed to the direction the Cardinals went with signing a lot of veterans this offseason. Yeah, when you get guys in their 30s around the age of 30, you know, James Conner was kind of conspicuous by his signing that he's in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
Most of the other guys the Cardinals signed. Well, guess what? Those guys are plug and play in an uncertain offseason where you might not have the ability to practice together as a team very much.
No, that's right, Paulie. It's going to be really, really interesting. But I just love the fact you said James Conner once again. Listen, first down maker, hand him the ball off, run some power schemes in between the tackle, watch him hit the angles and hit the hole and punch a hole into that front seven. I want to see that, Paul.
Yeah, something tells me he's going to endear himself to you and the style of football you love. We know he endeared himself to the Steelers fans. He grew a mullet in 2018 just to fit in Pittsburgh, Wolf. You realize that. He was a fan favorite just based on his mullet.
And, of course, everyone else grew it as well, Paulie, mimicking him.
Yeah, so it was part of the Yinzer culture. We need to get your brother on to explain the Yinzer culture in the Berg. Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Sweeps the left side, got a block at the 10, Connor to the 5, Connor to the goal line, and in for the touchdown.
Well, you just brought in another leader. This guy doesn't take second place to anybody. He's a great young man. Went to the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. I just have a lot of respect for the young man and what he's done and what he's accomplished in a very short period of time. He's an above-average pass catcher out of the backfield. I think that's an area they can explore more with him, because I think he's capable of flipping the field a lot like Le'Veon Bell did back in his heyday.
That's a good get, and you had an inside angle on your big brother, Craig Wolfley, this week on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports. There he was talking about James Conner, a player with which he is very familiar from day one as Steelers radio analyst. And, Wolf, you tell me, what else did your brother tell you about James Conner?
Well, just the fact that he's a great guy, but I think we already know that about James Conner. He's not flashy, Paulie, like we were talking about earlier. He's not a take-it-to-the-house type running back. He's a guy that's going to move the chains. And think about short yardage. We've already talked about it. Short yardage and goal line situations, I think he's going to improve the Arizona Cardinals' odds in those short yardage and goal line situations. He runs well between the tackles. He can hold up in play action. What I also love about it, Paulie, is just the fact that he knows he's running a 4-6. Okay? He knows it. He's not going to try to run sideways. He's not going to try to run around you. He knows he's running a 4-6. And that means here comes a little giddy-up. Ooh, at 6'1", 233 pounds, a little wiggle, and then pick a side and rip. And that's what I can't wait to see.
And you know what? I can't wait to see him in those situations like you just cited. I'll cite a specific one. Remember the loss at New England? It was week 12. Just a vexing loss in so many different ways, as New England had scoring drives that covered 46 and 35 and 31 and 33 yards, and Cam Newton had a passer rating under 30, and somehow the Patriots found a way to win that game. Well, if you remember, right before the half, the final play, fourth and goal at the Patriots 1, and the Cardinals were stoned. They were stopped. No points. Now, you hand that ball off to James Conner, and how do you like those odds?
See, this is why you're such a downer, Paul. We're playing the music, and suddenly you bring up that play right there. That was diabolical to happen to a team right before the half.
The only thing
worse is a linebacker picking the ball off and running it back 99 yards for a touchdown.
No, no. And Larry Fitzgerald running an Antrell roll on the sideline as James Harrison's going the other way.
Stop it.
Wolf, we had such a great show. What are you doing?
I mean, you brought us down, Paulie. Where my brain went when you brought us down.
I think right now Drew Griggs is saying footprints are on the table in the war room. That's me right now, okay? Special thanks, Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher, the director of player personnel for Wolf Umpall. That's the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.